and realize that God is so powerful than who we are. And yet, God so loved the world. God so loved me on this earth that He wants to connect with me on a one-on-one basis. And He wants to understand the pain and the aches of my heart and what is going on in my life. And He wants to show me the path in this world. It's worthwhile. It is worthwhile, oh God. And oh God, bring us to that place today. Thank you, Jesus. And oh Father, we also pray for people today who are praying for their needs. We just want to lift their needs to you, oh God. Maybe their financial needs. And oh God, we ask you that you will touch them in a very special way and show them the way, oh Father, in their life. Maybe there are health issues that are there, and help them, oh God, to kind of navigate those health issues, oh Father, and touch them in a very special ways. Maybe there are people who are praying for relationships issue, oh God, that they're so confused in their relationships, oh Father God, whatever it may be, husband, wife, or children, and it can be anything, oh God. And if somebody's praying through that, or that weighs very heavy on their heart today, oh God, we lift every one of them today to you, that you will work through them, through these things, oh God. You are able, oh Father. Father, we pray, oh God, that if there are people who are struggling at the work situation, that we lift them up to you as well. Show them the way, show them the path, and give each and every person the peace that comes through you, and help us to surrender our life to you, O Father. It is amazing life. It is a life of freedom when we surrender ourselves, O God, to you. So have your way, O Father God, in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence in the midst of us today. We have gathered here in your name, and your presence is here. And we acknowledge your presence, oh Father God. We know you're speaking to the hearts and the minds of people right now. And we are so grateful for that, oh God. Have your way, oh God. We do not want to push you away, but receive you and listen to you, the things that you are speaking to us right now, oh Father God. Thank you, Father. Oh Father, as we continue to worship you. We want to worship you through the giving of our tithes and our offering. That is a way of worshiping you, O Father God. And you have asked us, O Father, that you bring our tithes and offering in the household to give thanks and receive blessings from you, O Father God. And O Father, as we give to you this morning, receive it, O God. Check our attitude of our hearts as we give. We want to give to you with thankfulness, with rejoicing heart, oh God. And oh Father, receive it and have, and we want to be thankful to you through our giving, oh God, today. So we praise you and we give you thanks, God, for all the provisions that you have provided to us. Thank you, Jesus. Use it for your glory, the tithes and offering, O Father, and bless it. We pray for our kids as they go and learn from you the truths of eternal truths, O God, from the Word of God. Just be with them, prepare their heart, and draw them closer to you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we worship the Lord through the giving of our tithes and offering, let's do this with thanksgiving, with joy and happiness, and let's express our joy by clapping as we do that. Ushers, if you will come forward.
For be it from me to not be. Even when my eyes can't see.
We have a special speaker today who is not a guest to us, but part of our family. Chaplain Crow, Sean Crow, is here. Chaplain Crow was served in Greeley, like Fort Greeley, brother, for a while, and his family was in Idaho while they're there, but it's a blessing that they're here today.
Absolutely.
And have moved and families together. So Melissa and the kids, they're all here, and so praise God for that. And so today, welcome, brother, mm-hmm. and give the word of God to us and take it away.
Absolutely.
So welcome, Chaplain Sean Crow.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, you're good.
You're going to.
We just do that for shock effect. No, I had this just in case. I wasn't sure if I needed it or not. By the way, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. I always like to quote that when I go places because it's my favorite scripture, Romans. Always is, always will be. I come to you, I want to talk about a few things about service. And before I do, I want to show you something on the screen. If you have one of these little devices they call a cell phone, pull out your cell phones, would you? Pull out your cell phones. All y'all know you do it. None of y'all are raw dogging during my service here, or service together. But you pull it up there and just, take the camera. See, I want to do this too. I'm going to take a picture. Just so and say, hey, go to that screenshot. Now, if you're really super savvy, you know how to type into the browser there, go ahead and just go HTTPS or just say sermons.church. It'll pull up. Sermons.church. And all you have to do, I guess I was one of the few first to do it, is put up the name chaplain. Just the word chaplain. Or if you halfway spell it, okay, it'll pull up and just click on it. And it'll pull up for the notes for today. So just pull up the notes, sermons.church, or take a picture thereof. Or if you're like me, I tend to use a QR code and all sorts of gadgets, and then it pulls right up. It's really nice. But thereby, you can be able to start and follow along with the service today. Because I was so cheap, I did not do a printer, did not connect with Pastor Manoj to get that in time. But I want you to be able to follow along with all the scriptures that we're going to talk about today, especially with the heart of what we talk about, service. And the title that we're going to go about today, about how now shall we serve with everything that we have. So with that, I want to talk about service. And it's critical to talk about service in different times when we want to give. And I'm really thankful for the mission. It seems to be a good place to start here, especially with frontline mission being in the front. But I want to talk about service as a response to God's grace. I want to talk about service as how we work at serving from who we are. In other words, service that includes, first of all, how we serve. Because service sounds great and it's very bland, but it's important on how we serve from the heart, not just what we give. It's important how we serve with humility and yet also with availability. So first of all, how we serve. And then the second part is, of course, when we serve. I don't know about you, but as the comes closer to Thanksgiving, Veterans Day, it's hard for me to have a free calendar. But when we serve sometimes comes against what I want and when I want, at hours that I want. But when I want to serve is beholden to the Lord to say when he wants me to. So how we serve and when we serve. And then lastly, the last third point there, if you're doing online notes and fill it in, is why we serve. Why we serve. Do we serve so we can get into heaven? God forbid. There's no one qualified. Do we serve because it's good for us to do so? Or back in it kind of dates me a little bit, but the 80s when everybody was coming in and filling the church pews and they were good citizens. We're not good because we serve. Why do we serve? It's important to how and why we serve. How we serve, when we serve, and why we serve. So our response to God's grace should come from our hearts as we think today about what we should feel about in our commitment. And we're going to do a little exercise here. I'm going to say, how shall we serve? And I want you to say, with everything we have. Let's try that. How shall we serve? Now, I've been serving for about 17 years. I've never been a drill sergeant, but I do get a little lower in the hearing, especially with the tinnitus. So you're going to have to be a little louder. Let's try again. How shall we serve? Excellent. We're going to try that a couple of times. I'll see if we'll keep you up to date here as we go through the service. So if you will with me, if you'll turn in your, if you're not using the phones, in the phones you can just click on the link, it'll pop up for you. Or if you in your Bibles could open up to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. And it'll be on the screen as well. Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. And if you would, if you're able to with me, just go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word as we read together today. And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. I'll be reading, and on the screen will probably be in the English Standard Version. We'll call out the verses as they continue so that we can follow along in different translations as well. Let us read. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feast," verse 40, "who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation," verse 41. And he sat down opposite of the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, verse 42, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are still contributing to the offering box," verse 44. "For they contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she has to live on." May God bless the reading of his word and the meditation of our hearts. Please be seated. When we look at this scripture and we look at the scene that Jesus comes to this, this is a very big start. He comes into Jerusalem. This is the time that he comes into Jerusalem and he's doing this big exercise. He's teaching and he's demonstrating. In fact, he starts first with a celebration, like it says in Matthew 21. And he comes in with a big celebration, Matthew 21, 7 through 11, how everybody says, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And it's just, oh, big celebration. All of a sudden, he goes and throws you out of the church. Not really the church. But in the temple, he takes the whip, he fashions a cord. He premeditated, by the way. Premeditated. He takes the cord of whips, and he chases everybody out. Everybody's making money off of those who are trying to come to make sacrifices to the Lord in his temple. Crazy. So he's teaching, and he's demonstrating. And then later in Mark 12:3, he instructs the people, hey, when you're giving, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. He makes that clear demarcation. And then he answers one of them about what it means in these scribes about the great commandment. In fact, if you want to look at that, Jesus answers the question of the great commandment from a scribe, and yet he also questions the scribes themselves, because it looks like the scribes trying to question him, not for truth, but necessarily to try to trick or get an answer from him to test the Lord. And as he does so, the point is that the heart of that scribe, the point is the heart of that question, was he really trying to serve or not, to do so or not? And it matters how the scribe would serve the Lord or us, which is why the question we have today, how shall we serve with everything we have? We'll try that again. How shall we serve with everything we have? Okay, good. So with that, the great commandment reflects this statement, does it not? If we look at Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 11, Jesus answered him in verse 29 saying, "The most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other great commandment than this. And this mirrors, of course, the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 6. And it's a great commandment, and this is why we serve with everything we have. This is also reflected in the manual, in the church manual. If you see it on your notes, the church manual is called, in chapter 5, as if it were, the covenant of Christian character, and discusses certain things here about how we identify with the visible church, and that we're to help, and it's our sacred duty to help each one of us from their sins, not because we're of the primary nature here. Ambassadors for Christ. Ooh, the dead spot. Yeah. We're trying to be ambassadors for Christ, and we're required for us to help unite as the church to walk in fellowship together. And it talks about several parts there. For one, loving God with all our heart, right there, the Shema. Number two, pressing upon the attention of the unsaved for the claims of the gospel, being courteous to everyone, to be able to be helpful for those who are all seeking of the faith, and love forbearing one another, you know, whether they cut you off when they're driving or cut you off in line, be forbearing one another. It's about the spirit within. And then seeking to do good to the bodies and souls of men. I like number five, of seeking and people and feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, as scripture would say, to give a cup of cold water. And contributing to the support of the ministry and the church, works, tithes, and offerings, your talent, your time, your treasure. And as we do so, then we serve with each other as a good form of worship, because service is more than just singing. I like to sing, I do. I like to worship in music, but I also need to worship and work in serving Him. That's why I asked the question, how shall we serve? With everything we have. You're getting tired of that, aren't you? Oh, okay, that's good. So service is a mindset to the church, to me. It's about serving. I like to be comfortable when I come to church. I'm so thankful, Pastor Miller. We've got wonderful coffee, although I know all y'all tend to go for the foo-foo stuff right before service. I watch that. I haven't been invited yet, but eventually. I think I'm a little too old. We'll see. But it is so good that we can be comfortable, have certain things in church, but it's about the mindset of serving too. And I see it. Every Wednesday night I come, I get a chance to come. I see it in the eyes of our people who come to worship. I see it in my family. It's a beautiful thing as they come to help others. But service is a mindset. It's about not just being comfortable. And again, like the when, the what, the how, and the why. But we need to serve with a heart that's open with not being uncomfortable. I'll remind you, there was a time, so I've been serving in the military for a while, I get it, but yet I don't count that very high as much as being a soldier of Christ. Each one of you, if you bear His name, you are a soldier of Christ. That doesn't mean you're going to fight physically or be adamant and argumentative. But it does mean you need to wield the sword of truth, the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith. It needs to be ready for the tax that you will have upon your character, the tax upon what you believe, and the tax upon hope that you can share with others in service. Well, just like in service in the military, I before I joined the military, there was a time after about 12 years of marriage that my wife had come to me and said, "We really want to go on a cruise." I'm like, "I don't want to go on a cruise. It sounds like a good way to get isolated and alone. I don't know if that's good for me." But we scrounged and we saved up to get to a cruise. And has anyone ever been on a cruise before? I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? And it's very nice. But I didn't think I was going to enjoy it, and I did enjoy it. But it gets me to thinking this thing. If people in the church, do we sometimes think of worship and serving God like a cruise? Let me show you something about that. when we think of service to the church, when we think of worship together, we should think more of how we serve and whom we serve and answering to a higher calling. And the text talks about this. When we look at this text from Matthew and also from Luke and Matthew 23, which is a synoptic gospel to what we're seeing in Mark 12. But in Matthew 23, 2 through 4, it says how the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat and they do observe what they tell you. You should do observe what they tell you, but not the works that they do. For they preach but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move with them, even part of their finger. In Luke chapter 20, verses 46 through 47, says something similar as a synoptic story that also is being reported what Jesus said, which is to say, beware the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues and churches, the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. Now, the phrase that talks about this devouring widows' homes was curious to me. And really what it meant was, in a detail, what was said before in olden times. In fact, it's difficult to understand now because in our equality in America, we have equal say as genders to when we have our households. But if you could go with me back to biblical times, if there wasn't a man in the house, the property was suspect to be forfeit. So what they would happen if there was a widow, because the husband had died, brother had died, the widow would have the community would assign the property to a scribe, a learned person. And the scribe would help oversee, kind of like a trustee, would oversee the land. They might give a portion of that as some type of payment, but it shouldn't have been much. Shouldn't have been. But as the practice was going, because of our human nature, people would be taken advantage of. Widows would be taken advantage of. And this is where the comment and saying about devouring widows' homes. And that was happening common in that day. And unfortunately, as the synoptic accounts relay the text about that and talk about unscrupulous scribes, then we start and we continue with the story that Jesus is going to when he sits across from the money box. When he sits across from the treasury and watches people deposit their money. I don't know about you, but I never went to the bank and sit across from them, let's watch, you know. I can't see that. Or, and we were just passing around the offering plate. We're just sitting, all right, what's up? Let's see who does this time. Come down the row. You ever, since some of us have been around a little while, you ever had it where they had the offering where it's like a big bag? You know, it's like, oh. And so people, it's bad enough that you're trying to hide where they're giving, but who put in an empty hand? You know, they're like, okay, you know, here you go. Oh, Lord, have mercy on our souls. But so Jesus sits across from the money box. And what happens is he's watching. And this is what it comes with the text when we start when someone who is getting some condemnation because of what they're presenting, but they're not really supporting this learned scribe, someone in their wealth. But then it finishes with a quiet poor widow, a quiet poor widow who gives all that she had in beautiful silence. And in worship to God. This is why I have the question, how shall we serve with everything we have? In those times when we're approaching the synagogue or church, we wouldn't come in this door, and I really appreciate our greeters, and they do a wonderful job in greeting, but they don't ask for money from you. Did you notice that? No one asks for money. Somebody comes in and goes straight to the coffee bar. But So they come in and they greet. And they say, welcome, and they make sure that's a safe place for you to enter. But they're not asking for your tithe there. That was common in biblical times. You would come, in fact, actually, it was what we call the court of women, I think. There was a title for it, because there are different levels, right? As you come up to the steps to give praise to the Almighty, the Redeemer. But as you came up, you were expected. There was a box right there. It was a collection box. And that's where Jesus was sitting across from as people come in. big ties and make big shows of it and, you know, stick the hand in the bag. But as they're doing so and he watches, he sees her response. And as she brings out of that, that it was her gift as a response of love and obedience. Because there's no way that you and I can earn a way to heaven. There's not enough. There's nothing that can judge us and we can earn salvation on our own merit. There's nothing that we could give in a money box to be able to earn our way into heaven. Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast." Or Romans 3, 9 through 12, my favorite, which is, "What shall we say then? Are Jews any better? No, not at all. For we are charged that Jews and Gentiles both are under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. There is no one righteous, anyone. They've all turned aside. Together, they become worthless. No one does good, not even one." But then Romans 3, 19 through 24 says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. As it says then, that by the works, we can see that everyone is under the law of sin. But now the law testifies to righteousness that is apart from law, that both the law and the prophets testify to. This righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and are justified freely by their righteousness by the redemption that came from Christ Jesus." Amen? I didn't put you to sleep there. Amen? Yeah, I hope so. That is the hope that we have, so that we know that when we serve, when we give in the box, when we help at different parts of the, say, the frontline mission, when we come here to serve here, we serve in our community, when we give hope to those who don't have hope, we do so in service in response to his love. That's why when we ask, how shall we serve with everything we have? The message of the widow's gift is contrasted with what we have from the earlier scribes serving. It is a lesson unto which we should see ourselves in the modes of worship this side of eternity. It's how we serve, not just the amount. It is in the heart that the Lord sees and we will be blessed. You know, it's a little late to ask, but, you know, Melissa knows that my wife knows my favorite meal is breakfast. And when we talk about commitment, we always say, you know, well, I'm reminded of this, that I like to serve more like the pig than the chicken. Because the chicken contributed, but the pig gave it all. You know, bacon and eggs. Just got to say, I'm sorry, that wasn't very kosher. Ain't Jewish in there in here. But it's true to give all, and it's why and how. And that all that we want to do today, and I hope and pray as you think about this week, as it comes to Veterans Day tomorrow, and as it comes to this week after, and we're preparing for Thanksgiving and the holiday season to come, there's wonderful gifts that we can bring, each one of us. There's a service that we can give. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter that you've never, don't like talking to people. Did you know I'm an introvert? I don't like talking to people either. Isn't that funny? It doesn't matter how affluent or how many skills or talents you think you have. What it matters is your willingness, my willingness. Am I willing to open my heart and allow the Lord to change my life? Because those who have served, and as you serve, you'll find that the Lord blesses you twice over. The scripture that talks about giving into the storing house, it's not just talking about your treasure and your money. It's about your time. It's about your talent and your willingness. He wants to see you be blessed. He wants to see our community blessed here at Wasilla Lake. He wants to see us grow in discipleship, in community. And my hope is that as we continue now, I don't know if you want to have the musicians come up or if you would come up now, go ahead, if you have the last song. But as they continue, I want you to think about what this week can you do. Maybe it's connection with frontline mission. Maybe it's something you can serve in a capacity that you're interested in doing devotions with someone together. But my heart is that we need each other now more than ever to continue preparing and keep helping each other in the spirit to be ready for his coming again, to respond in his love, to serve him, and to give him what is due him. Because of all that we do and say should give God glory.
Power of sin and darkness, whose love is light.
this week, and that you would just speak to us, and so that we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, go in peace.